Say, Perek Aleph, page 2 on the bottom, we didn't get too far. Okay, let's start from the beginning quickly and we'll catch up to where we're up to. Okay, now the Rebbe starts with Tanya, we say Perek Gimel Dani, the last time we explained the word Tanya, but anyway. It says in the Brayis at the end of the third paragraph of the Gemara Nida, that before Neshama descends into the earth, before Neshama comes into the body, Mashbi and Esi, we give him an oath, Tehi Tzadik Val Tehi Rasha, should be a Tzadik and not a Rasha. And then the Gemara continues, even if the whole world tells you you're a tzaddik, you should be in your own eyes like a Rasha. Last time we explained, not elaborating again, the Shvua is really the power that it could be a tzaddik and not a Rasha. And the question is the redundancy of the oath. Be a tzaddik and don't be a Rasha. If you're a tzaddik, you're not a Rasha. If you're not a Rasha, you're a tzaddik. So why do you need the redundancy? We learned that last time. So he says like this, we have to understand. The Tanan of his Perek Beis, it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Halti Rasha Bifnei Atzmach. You should not ever hold yourself as a wicked person. So that's contradictory to what the Gemara said before. The Gemara said that even if everybody tells you you're a tzaddik, in your own eyes, you should be like a Rasha. So he said, but the Gemara says you're not supposed to be a Rasha in your own eyes. The Gam, and then he asks a logical question. The question is going to be like, what is the purpose of thinking that you're no good? It says like this, Im ye bein av kedosha, if you'll be a rasha in your own eyes, yeda levavi's heart will become fat, bad. And within him, the ya'atev will be sad, and you won't be able to serve God with simcha. If a person takes it seriously, that he's no good, so what happens? You get depressed. If you get depressed that you're no good, then you won't be able to serve Hashem with simcha. And then he said, "Vim lo yed alavavi klal miza." And if you don't care about it, you're going to say, "Yeah, I'm bad, and I'm proud of it." So yochol lovely dekalos chas Hashem. It could come to lightheadedness. So the Alter Rebbe asks a double question here. First of all, what is the purpose? There's a contradiction. Number one, one Gemara says, "Be a Rasha in your own eyes." Another Gemara says, "Don't be a Rasha in your own eyes." And then he asks, what is the purpose of being a Rasha in your own eyes? What's the purpose of it? If you take it seriously, you'll get depressed. If you won't take it seriously, you come to lightheadedness. So any way you look at it, it's not good. But Alter Rebbe, and the question is emphasizing, you won't be able to serve Hashem with simcha. You wouldn't be able to serve Hashem with happiness, with joy. The question is, who cares? Who needs to serve Hashem? Why is simcha such an important ingredient in the service of Hashem? So besides the fact that David HaMelech says in Tillim, that we say every day in davening, if du es Hashem b'simcha, you have to serve Hashem with simcha, but there's another reason why simcha is mandatory. Because there's a very famous question which any logical mind can ask, and that is, we are finite, Hashem is infinite. How in the world can a finite being reach the infinite? How can a finite being reach the infinite? So we learned many times that, in fact, is the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim means going out of your boundaries and limitations. Any boundary or limitation a person has that they break and they go out of, on their realm, it's infinite. In other words, their nature is limited. When you break your nature, even though it's still limited, but relatively speaking, to your level, it reached the infinite level. And that's why Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah constant. You go out of Mitzrayim every day and every minute and every second. A Jew goes out of Mitzrayim because the only way you can reach the infinite is by breaking our own finite. That is actually what simcha is all about. The Gemara uses the expression simcha peretz geder. Simcha breaks all barriers. When a person is happy, they will do things that they normally wouldn't do. You wouldn't even catch them dead doing it, so to speak. But when they're happy, they break the barriers, they break the limitations. Therefore, it's not only that in order to serve Hashem with simcha helps, you know, give you a little bit of spirit. Simcha is the only way that you can really serve Hashem, because you need to reach the infinite, and you can only do it by Simcha. So the Alter Rebbe is asking, if a person takes the fact that he's a Rasha seriously, he won't be able to serve Hashem with Simcha. And if you can't serve Hashem with Simcha, you can't serve Hashem properly. Because the only way you can serve Hashem properly is to break your limitations. How do you break your limitations? By being besimcha. So he says, what is the purpose of appearing to be a Russian? So he says, the Inyan is, and Alter Rebbe will not answer any of these questions for some 20 odd chapters. Well, in Yudalit he answers one chapter, but as a rule, these questions are not answered until much later. So he says, we find in the Gemara five different types of levels of people. Tzadik v'teivlei, tzadik v'ralei, simply means a tzadik that has it good, a tzadik that has it bad. Rasha v'teivlei, a rasha that has it good. Rasha v'ralei, a rasha that has it bad. Ubeinani, and the intermediate person, the in-between person. So the Gemara says, what is tzadik v'teivlei? So the Gemara is explaining, it doesn't only mean tzadik v'teivlei, a tzadik that has it good. It means like this. Tzadik gomor. What does tzadik v'teivlei mean? We're not talking about a tzadik that physically has it good. A complete tzadik. Tzadik v'ralei means tzadik she'ein a gomor. An incomplete tzadik. Okay? So there's two levels of a tzadik. There's a complete tzadik, there's an incomplete tzadik, and then it's understood. There's a complete Rasha, an incomplete Rasha, and in the between guy, called the Beinani. So he says, that's what the Gemara explains. The Parshas Mishpatim, which is a part of the Zayat, in Parshas Mishpatim, he explains, what does the Gemara mean when it says tzadik v'ralei? The Gemara says it means an incomplete tzadik. But the Zayat explains, what does tzadik v'ralei mean like this? He's a tzadik, v'ra, he has evil, but loy, it's subdued and subjugated to him. That means, it's a tzaddik that has evil, but the evil is completely nullified. And he says, sharashabai, the evil that's in him is loy. What does it mean, loy? Kafaf l'tev is bent and subdued and subjugated to the tzaddik. So therefore, tzaddik v'tev loy would mean no evil at all. Tzadik v'ralei means a tzadik that has a little bit of evil, and that's why he's an incomplete tzadik. But it's bottled to the good, and then you have the Rasha, two levels in the Beinoni. So then he continues the Gemara, say Perek Tes Brachas. So the Gemara at the end of the ninth Perek of Brachas says the following statement: Tzadikim yetzatev sheftam. The tzadikim are judged by the good inclination. Rishoyim yetzahara sheftam. Who judges the Rishoyim? The evil inclination. Beinanim, zevizeh sheftam. A Beinani is judged by both. Okay? So simply learning the Gemara, what does it mean? A tzaddik is controlled by the Yetzer Tov, a Rasha is controlled by the Yetzer Hara, and a Beinani is controlled by both. Amar Abba, Rabba says, you want to know what a Beinani is? Kegein ano Beinani. I am a Beinani. Rabbi, the great Rabbi, we'll soon see about him, says, I'm a Beinani. Amale Abaye, so his disciple Abaye said to him, Leshavik marchai lechol beria. You're not letting anybody live. If you're a Beinani, then nobody is alive. What's the explanation? There's two explanations here. One explanation is, Rabbi was the greatest, as we will soon see. Rabbi was the greatest man in his generation. If Rabbah is a tzaddik, then we could be a Beinani. If Rabbah is a Beinani, so what are we? Rishoyim. And the Gemara says, a Rasha, even when he's alive, is called dead. Because he doesn't cling to God. So therefore, Abai says to Rabbah, if you're a Beinani, then we're all dead. Meaning we're all Rishoyim. Secondly, it's explained, what did Abai say to Rabbah? Every generation must have tzaddik yaseid elam, the tzaddik in whose merit the entire generation is existing. Without that tzaddik, there's nothing. So the Rabbi says, I'm a Beinani. But Rabbah was the tzaddik of the generation. So Abaye says to him, 1 minute, if you're a Beinoni, then there's no tzaddik. So then, like, there's no world. How could it be? So, okay, so we have to understand what is this thing going on. So, somebody might ask, you can answer a very simple answer. Rabbah was modest. Rabbah was modest. So he didn't want to say on himself he's a tzaddik. So what did he say? He's a Beinoni. So, you know, I'll buy you cool it a little bit. Okay? But you can't say that that's modesty. Because modesty doesn't mean you're allowed to lie. If somebody asks you if you keep Shabbos, and you do, and you want to be humble and you say no, it's pushing a liar. It's not that modesty, it's a lie. You do keep Shabbos. You say you don't keep Shabbos. If a Beinoni means what it means, simply 50% mitzvahs and 50% avedas, modesty doesn't mean a guy says I sin 50% of my life. It's not modesty, it's a lie. If he doesn't, if not, it's a mamish lie. So we learned many times, what is the definition of modesty? Modesty doesn't mean you don't know who you are. Modesty means you know exactly your greatness. You know exactly who you are. So what does modesty mean? So modesty is like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu. If somebody asked Moshe Rabbeinu, who did God speak to? And he wants to be humble and he says, not me. Somebody would say, Moshe, you're a liar. If somebody says to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest prophet that ever existed amongst the Jews? Moshe Rabbeinu would have to say me. Why? Because it says in Chumash, there was never a prophet as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. If somebody asks Moshe Rabbeinu, who got the Torah in Har Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu say, not me, again, he's lying, because, you know, that is a story in the Gemara. The Sultan asks Hashem, where's the Torah? And the Sultan, Hashem says, I don't know, I gave it to earth. He goes to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Moshe, where's the Torah? He says, I don't know. So God says, Moshe, you're a liar. But Doyat, he says, Hashem says to me, what are you, lying? So Moshe says, God, listen, the Torah, which is your toy, you expected I should say it's me. Come on. But so yet, the same Torah that says, Moshe received Torah in Har Sinai, the same Torah that says, God spoke only to Moshe, the same Torah that says, Isho Likim, there's half man, half God, the same Torah that says he was the greatest prophet, says that Moshe was the most humblest Jew that ever lived. So what's the explanation? We look many times. Chassidus explains, you have to know exactly who you are. But you realize that somebody that would be given the same ability, the same head, the same opportunity, the same situation like you, they would even be greater. In other words, definition of modesty is the realization that I have to be better than I am. But not to know your greatness is not modesty. It's foolishness. In fact, in the Yom Yom, Rebbe brings down, just equal to the fact that a person has to know their faults, they have to know their uniquenesses. Because if God bless somebody with a talent, and they say, no, I don't have it, then they're wasting something Hashem created in the world. So therefore, Rabbi can't come along out of modesty and say, I sin 50% of my life. Right? So the question is, what is Rabbah saying by saying he's a Beinoni? And he says like this.
Can you just clarify what you said about the
Moshe Beinoni Shalakim? It says in the Medrash, what does Ishu Alakim mean? He was Chatzi Ish and Chatzi Alakim. What does that mean? I don't know. No, that's what did Rome do with the Romans?
Because all human can't do that.
Why did the Malachim eat on earth?
To eat is not a punch, not to eat.
When in Rome, the Gemara says, Osis lekartas al b'nemusa. In English it's translated.
So
he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to Har Sinai, when he went up to Shemayim, his body became so refined that he didn't need to eat.
It's greater than that.
It's greater than not eating 40 days, correct.
know, but I'm saying how you see it. I don't think it's something you can understand, truthfully. Okay.
And pal daba, but you do understand. God speaks him face to face.
No.
Okay, good. As long as you don't understand that.
Yes.
Okay, good. So he says, Lahavan said, Bayat Hativ, and also to understand all of this properly, meaning, what is it, two levels of tzaddik, what are the two levels, what does all this mean? And also, the Gam Lahavan, Masha Amad Iyuv. Eve says in the Gemara, Ribbeinu Shel Olam, Berasa Tzadikim, Berasa Rishoyim. Eve says, Tashem, God, you created Tzadikim, and you created Rishoyim. You created good people, you created bad people. So the Alter Rebbe says, V'atzadik V'rasha Leikamar. There's a question as follows. The Gemara says, before a person is born, an angel comes and says, whether this tipa, whether this putrid drop, is going to be smart, stupid, rich, poor, big, small. It says everything about the person. Except tzaddik v'rasha lo ka'amar. The Gemara says whether you're going to be good or bad, that the angel doesn't say. Why? Because for that we have free will. If God creates a tzaddik, then he doesn't have free will. If he creates a wicked person, then he doesn't have free will. So the Gemara says, in the Gemara says that when the Malach comes and says to the person what you're going to be, what you're going to be, it doesn't say whether you're going to be a tzaddik or a rasha, because that is up to us. So the question is, how could Eve and the Gemara say, God, you created tzaddikim, you created rishoyim, when God doesn't create tzaddikim or rishoyim, we have the free will to be good or bad. So how can you say God creates us? This is all questions and understanding. What is the true definition of a tzaddik? What is the true definition of a rasha? And what's the true definition of a beinoni? But the question is, how could Eve say, God, you created a tzaddik, when God doesn't create tzaddik? And also, v'gam, lahavin muhus madregis a beinoni. What is really this beinoni guy? And like we learned at the beginning, or it says on top of the page, it's called sefer shel beinonim. Right, so a good part of Tanya is explaining what a beinoni is. Shebevadai, one thing the Alter Rebbe says, it's for sure, ein amachse zochis amachse aveinis. It's definitely not 50-50. Which the simple meaning of the Gemara is. Why? Shim kein, because if that's what it means, echtor rabbe ba'atzme lemeshu beinoni. How could rabbe make a mistake to say he's beinoni? V'nei, then it's known, the leiposik pumi megirsa. His mouth never stopped learning. That even the angel of death couldn't kill him. The Gemara tells two stories, one about David HaMelech, one about Rabba. Similar stories. But David HaMelech said to God, tell me when I'm going to die. David HaMelech says to God, tell me when I'm going to die. Shem said, that secret nobody knows. So David HaMelech is Jewish. He dealt with God. He said, okay, you know what? Tell me which day of the week I'm going to die. So Hashem said to him, okay, you're a great guy, I'll tell you, you can die on Shabbos. So from that time on, every Shabbos, David HaMelech learned 24 hours straight. Because he knew that the Malach HaMavis can't kill you if you're learning Torah. So came the day David HaMelech was supposed to die. The Malach HaMavis comes, and he's trying to get him to stop learning. It's not working. What did he do? He had to kill him, and he has to get him. So what does he do? So the Gemara tells a story that he made a tremendous wind outside, and a tree blew down. And there was a big commotion. And David HaMelech went out to see what the commotion was. But he was still learning. And while he was walking out, the Malach HaMavis broke the step, and David HaMelech lost his balance for a second, stopped learning, and he got him. And the Gemara tells a similar story about Rabba. Rabba was so great that his mouth never stopped learning, that even the angel of death couldn't kill him. So the Alter Rebbe asks, if that's who Rabba was, how in the world can Rabba say, I'm a Beinoni, if a Beinoni means 50-50? The Gemara says, first of all, Rabba, interesting, died when he was 40. Rabbi passed away, the famous Rabbah of the Gemara, passed away when he was 40. But the Gemara says that there's a story in the Gemara that there was a debate between Hashem and his yeshiva. Hashem got a yeshiva up there. Very cheap tuition. Hashem has a yeshiva, Sitta Deraki, it's called. And they had an argument in learning. Between God said one thing, and the yeshiva said something else, which itself needs to be understood. But anyway, so Hashem said, okay, we need to get the halachic ruling over here. So Hashem said, Man Noichach, who is going to decide? So Hashem said, let it be Rabba Ben Achmeni, this Rabba, who's called Rabba Ben Achmeni. And Hashem said, why? Ani yochid be'elyeinim, v'yochid be'tachtainim. I'm alone upstairs, and he's alone downstairs. I mean, there's nobody as great as him. The Gemara tells Rabba Paschal, not the God, like the yeshiva, and Hashem admitted defeat. Natschuni banei natschuni. But anyway, you see that Rabba was so great, how in the world can a Beinani mean, so the Alter Rebbe is not saying Rabba made a mistake. The Alter Rebbe is saying, a Beinani obviously, in the real sense of the word, cannot mean 50-50. Because how in the world can Rabba come along to say, I do 50% of Avedis, if Rabba was so great that even the angel of death couldn't kill him? And then the Alter Rebbe continues with the question. Can he make a mistake with 50% sins? The aid, and then the Alter Rebbe asks another practical question. When you do a sin, you're called a Rasha. If you do tshuva, you're called Tzadik Gomer. Right? So where does the Beinani get in? When you sin once, you are a Rasha until you do tshuva. Once you do tshuva, you become like a Tzadik. Right? So when could you possibly be a Beinani? So the Adrebbe continues. Afilo ha'ever al yisik al shadivri sefer mikir rasha. Even if you only transgress a light rabbinic prohibition, you're also called a rasha. Like the Gemara says in the second parak of Yevamos, the first parak of Nida. And then the Adrebbe takes it a step further. Even if you don't sin, you could also be a rasha. How? Mi sheyesh biyodi limchis. A person has the ability to stop somebody from sinning or protesting. Volei mich, and they don't, is also called a Rasha. So he says, woman, a Rasha is no sinning, not biblical, not rabbinic. Even if you could stop somebody from sinning and you don't, you're also called a Rasha. So how in the world do you get a Beinani? The kosher came with Kavol Chaim, he says, two lines in the bottom. How much more so? If a person nullifies a positive biblical mitzvah, that is possible to fulfill, and you don't. That means you're not even doing something actively sinning. You're just not doing a positive mitzvah. You're sinning passively of something you should be doing. Right? And he says, a person has the ability to study Torah any second of the day. And he doesn't. Sha'al of Darsha Razal, that the Chazal say, Dvar Hashem Baza, they quote the Pasuk from Chumash, that you shamed the word of Hashem. He caught his decorus, you should be cut off from God. So therefore, Pshita is for sure, the Mikra Rasha, you call the Rasha, Tvei more than if Yanni did something rabbinic. And in fact, women should count their blessings with this. Men have a halachic obligation to learn 24/7. The Torah says we give you time off to eat, sleep, work, you know. But every spare moment, you have a biblical obligation to learn Torah. And therefore, the Gemara says one of the three sins that everybody sins every day is Bittul Torah. So he says, but if you do Bittul Torah, then you're a Rasha. So therefore, Umishum Hachi, now we can understand. Why Torah Rabba Ba'atzmi Le'mishu Beinani? So now the Alter Rebbe explained. Now we can understand why Rabba made a mistake. Meaning, Rabba was definitely a tzaddik gomer. There's no question Rabba was a complete tzaddik. But Rabba thought, and here's where modesty comes in. Rabba thought he was only a Beinani. What does it mean? The Alter Rebbe is going to explain later in Tanya, a Beinani doesn't sin. A Beinani never sins. Not in thought, not in speech, not in action. You have a willing evil thought, you're a Rasha until you do tshuva. because Judaism is hard. Complicated religion. You say one word, Lashon Hara, Russia. What action, no good? Russia. No. Good morning, America. Yeah. What do you think, Rubenin? No, he says, what's the advantage? Today, what people call tzaddikim are in Russia v'tevle of Tanya. The higher Russia, that's the one of the tzaddikim. You know, Dr. Rebbe is going to explain later, if you sin once a year, or once every 10 years, and you right away do tshuva, you're still a Russia. You're not even a Beinani. A Beinani doesn't sin. But there's the regular Beinani, and there's a Beinani when he davens. I'm cheating, I'm going up to the 13th.
Wait, so everybody...
The 12th chapter.
With the Bittul Torah, that's not a Beinani, right?
Right. We're
everybody else.
Right. We're Russia. Meaning, a Beinani has a Yetzirah. The Beinani is constantly struggling with the Yetzirah to sin, but he doesn't give in. He doesn't sin at all. Why isn't he a tzaddik? Because the tzaddik doesn't have a yetzer hara. The lower tzaddik kills the yetzer hara. The higher tzaddik transforms the yetzer hara to good. A Beinani fights, and doesn't win. I mean, he wins as far as not sinning, but he doesn't kill the yetzer hara. Then you have the Beinani when he's davening. The Beinani when he's davening and he's meditating into the greatness of Hashem, his Yetzer Hara goes to sleep. His Yetzer Hara goes sleeping. The problem is, when he finishes davening, the Yetzer Hara wakes up again. Okay? Rabba never felt his Yetzer Hara. But Rabba thought, I'm a Beinani who's davening a whole day. Then you could say he's modest. In other words, he knew that he didn't have a Yetzer Hara. But he thought he has one sleeping. The truth is, he transformed his Yetzer Hara to Yetzer Tov. But now at least we can understand that if a Beinani means somebody who never sins, not in thought, not in speech and action, and there's a Beinani that puts his Yetzer Hara to sleep during davening, the problem is it wakes up after davening. But Rabbi thought he was a level of a Beinani who davens the whole day. So he said, I'm a Beinani. So Abaye says to him, hey, come on, you can't do that. If you're a Beinani, what are we? But one thing is for sure, that a Beinani doesn't sin. Definitely not 50-50. And now that is late, but Dr. Rebbe is going to ask, but this that we say is 50-50? That's generally speaking. Meaning, when you say somebody is a good person, that doesn't mean they don't do any bad. It means majority of the person, generally speaking, is a good person. Doesn't mean they don't do any bad. So when the Gemara says a tzaddik is like 75-25, that's the way you call the person, generally speaking. Is he a good person or a bad person? If he's 75% good and 25% bad, he's a good person. If he's 75% bad and 25% good, then he's a bad person. In the 50-50, he's called a Beinani person. But is that the true definition of a tzaddik or a Rasha? No. Okay,